Well, good morning. Yeah, wouldn't be right if I didn't say that, right? Well, the last couple of weeks have been pretty full. I've had just a full couple of weeks, and I had a lot of things that I wanted to get done during that time. In fact, I was planning on setting a day, a whole day aside 2 weeks ago to work on my message for today. I was going to work ahead. I was just gonna really do good, so I was excited about it. But one thing led to the other, and the next thing I know, it's like 2:30 in the afternoon, and I haven't got anything done. Nothing. By then, I was feeling a bit anxious, right, inside, because, man, I really wanted to get to work, but just things weren't working out, and nothing seemed to be working out that day. Have you guys ever been there, had that kind of feeling, had that kind of day? And so, anyways, when I finally sat down at my desk, I just kind of closed my eyes. I just leaned back in my chair. It was quiet in my office. And I just took a big, deep breath. I exhaled, and then I said this prayer. I said something like, "Lord, please just give me clarity of thought right now. Focus my attention on you. Help me to put just the right words together to speak to your people." And then I stopped, I leaned back, I opened up my computer, got ready to start typing, and then all of a sudden, my door flies open in my office, and Sherry Brummer walks in, and she goes, "Jim, I need your help. You've got to help me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to change plans, and I need to pick up some stuff for the youth over at Westridge." And I'm thinking, oh gosh, okay. And then she goes, I need to use your truck. And I didn't even have my truck there. And I'm like, gosh, I don't have it. And she really needed my help. And so I just kind of leaned back in my chair and I said, "No problem, Sherry. It's okay. I'll help you. And she was like, "Thank you, Jim. Thank you." And then she got up and she walked out. But honestly, that was the furthest thing from my mind, I'm here to tell you. I did not want to help her one bit. I didn't. And inside, I was saying, "Really, Sherry? Come on. What are you doing? I mean, what I am doing is important. I have to put a message together on serving people." Yeah, come on. Do you see the irony of it all? Oh, my. I couldn't believe it. And then I just stopped and thanked the Lord that he immediately convicted me of the way I was feeling. The Holy Spirit just convicted me right there, and I actually just stopped right where I was, and inside my heart, I just thanked the Lord, and I asked him to forgive me, because I was like, man, that is so wrong. I was really grateful. I was so grateful, and I just thanked him for just his gentle reminder about what matters the most. And I thought about what happened in that moment. I thought about it a lot, actually, in the last couple of weeks. And I realized that God was actually calling me to stop what I was doing in that very small and ordinary way and help someone just in the everyday affairs of life, the things that just come up in a typical day. It was really simple what God was calling me to do. And I almost missed it because I was so focused on me. And as I thought about it, honestly, I think that's how these opportunities to serve others, I think that's how they usually work. It's when we choose to engage in small things that we see God move in really big ways. And sadly, I was just reminded about how easily these opportunities can just be brushed aside. I do that. I hate to admit that. But sometimes I'll just easily brush over those and I'll miss them because I simply don't see them as being a big deal. And I think that's a mistake. In fact, I know that's a mistake. Sometimes when we read and we remember passages like this one from Matthew, where it says, Jesus himself says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We immediately tend to think of these huge, life-altering sacrifices that come up that we may have to make. And to be sure, there are going to be times when we'll be in a situation where we'll have to face some really tough choices. But these kinds of big choices really are few and far between. In my experience, most of life choices, they really, that have a huge impact in our lives are found in the small opportunities that we have to live out our faith. And they're usually done in the seemingly insignificant decisions that we make throughout the day. Like the choice that I had. Do I stop what I was doing? Do I drive across town and pick up a game for the youth? Do I deny myself at that moment? And then serve Sherry in the small things and go pick up a game for her? Or do I just say, nope, I'm not going to do that. I have more important things to do, like putting a sermon together. You see the tension? Because it's important that I put a message together. Absolutely, that's important. But it was also important that I serve those God has given me to serve and to love. And so the choice that I faced that day was more, the choice that I faced that day was more likely what denying yourself really does look like and taking up our cross. Will we indulge our own self-centeredness, or will we stop and will we serve others? In case you're wondering, yes, I did. I stopped, didn't I, Sherry? I stopped. I checked my attitude, and I served Sherry. I actually had a great time serving Sherry, and I got an extra blessing because I got to hang out with a guy that I hadn't seen in a while. And it was really good to connect with him. So this year we're looking at closing the gap on faith and love. And this spring, remember, we've been looking at the 8 one another's from Scripture. And as we look at all of these, we've been challenged to ask the question, how will I love those God has given me to love today? Well, one of the ways we can do that is found in our passage. It's found in the theme of serving one another. I want to read the passage again to you. It's from Galatians 5. It says, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, but rather serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. And so I say, live by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Well, I give you just a little bit of background on this passage in Galatians. Paul has been battling against some folks who really have come in and want to distort the gospel by adding things to the gospel. And so Paul spends the first part of this letter addressing the issues that have come up, and he's addressing them really forcefully. And he's also restating the truth of the gospel. Over and over again, he tells us what the truth of the gospel is about. And then starting with our passage, he begins to make a shift and talk about practical applications of a gospel-centered life. And he tells us that the keynote of true Christian freedom is a readiness to serve others. You see, serving one another is a timeless principle that ought to identify the believers and those who follow Christ. And if you think about the world that we live in today, this idea is so contrary to what we see around us today, isn't it? I mean, the message of our day, if I had to sum it up, I think I would say, make life all about you. Because you're special, you matter. And some of the most popular shows in recent years have really focused on this self-absorption, right? Like The Bachelor and The Apprentice, right? They have such huge ratings, and it's all about cutthroat, gossipy, catty, all of this. It's about indulging the flesh. The more cutthroat, the better. And check out this, as I was just thinking about that, I looked for some worldly wisdom. Check out this little nugget that I found. It kind of sums up the whole idea. Life is just easier when you put yourself first. I don't mean selfish, but just look out for yourself, you know? No one else will, that's for sure. It sounds pretty selfish to me, right? And isn't it funny that the guy who said this, he picked up on that. Because he says, oh, I don't mean selfishness. You know, when we read a statement like that, you just seem to know that something is just not quite right with it. Yet people live by this philosophy. But how's a self-centered life really work out for them? How's it work out? I mean, does it really make a person happy? Or does it just drive a person down to where they focus even more on all the ways that they've been mistreated and done wrong, which only then feeds bitterness and then makes them even more unpleasant to be around? I mean, I think it does. In fact, I know it does. I was just around a person or talked with a person who experienced this firsthand. I mean, just being around that kind of a person just sucked the life right out of them. They were drained. I mean, living a self-centered life is just this vicious cycle that is unfulfilling. And we're not to live lives like that. We're not. Jesus took a different approach. He came to serve. I mean, he took on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. I mean, he didn't come to be served, but to serve, to give his life away for others. I mean, Jesus really is the model servant. He shows us what life is really about. And so what does that say about us? What should our lives be about? It says our very nature then is that of a servant. Or at least it should be. And I know this idea sometimes of being a servant. We hear this and it can be offensive to someone who believes it's kind of beneath them to be called or even treated as a servant. But honestly, this is the example Jesus gave us. And he said, follow this example. And it's what we find Paul telling us to do. And so what is it? What is it that keeps us from serving others? I think if we dig down into that, I think we'll find that the root problem really is pride, a self-centeredness. A life that's keen on indulging our own self-interest. And I know this can be a little bit tricky at times. So what I don't want you to hear me saying is that there never is a time that you don't look out for your own interest. I'm not saying that. I mean, remember Philippians 2? Paul tells us, let each of you look out, or look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. See, we all have duties and responsibilities things that our life require us to do. But that doesn't let us off the hook of serving people. I mean, there are certain things we just have to do. And so we might need to put some boundaries in place, right? And those boundaries, they may limit what we're able to do. But it doesn't let us off the hook from serving others. And so really the question becomes, how do we know when we've moved from having a legitimate boundary in place into self-centeredness? How do we know? I mean, as I thought about that, I think the thoughts that we have when we have opportunities to serve that pop into our mind, I think they can serve as key indicators of what kind of attitude we're picking up. So what do those thoughts look like? How about this one? Oh, I'm better than that. That's beneath me. Do they know who I am? I told Patty I was going to say that, and she said, oh, Jim, nobody says that. And this morning on the news, I see this lady go, do you know who I am? It was not good. It was not good. And I thought, well, there you go. How about this one? I'll do it. I'll serve. I'll help them out. But I'm going to make sure that they know how much of an inconvenience this is to me. You know what this is costing me? A lot. I'm going to help you, but you've cost me a lot. Okay? How about that? How about, I've heard this from my relatives. Hopefully they don't listen to this. No. I've already raised my kids. Let somebody else do that. You see, these thoughts really are revealing. They show our heart. They really do. And I know most of us, honestly, most of us would probably never say these kinds of thoughts that bluntly, but we communicate these thoughts in what we do, our actions, the facial expressions that we make, our gestures, right? And just our overall attitude, right? We communicate that. Don't think we don't. Experts say that 55% of communication is all done through nonverbals. It really is. And so then we got to tweak that question a little bit, and it really becomes, does what I do communicate any of those kinds of thoughts? And if it does, then we need to stop. We need to dig a little bit deeper into the reason why we're not willing to serve. As I thought about that, and I think if I'm honest with myself and if we're all honest with this, I think we tend to think a little more highly of ourselves probably than we should. I mean, and if you think that's not true, I want to just see if you can kind of relate to this. I'm bearing myself here to you, okay? Once this guy came up and he asked me to help him move. And I said, sure, no problem. But in my heart, right, I'm thinking, 2 hours. I give him 2 hours. That's all I'm giving. And I tell you know what? When I get there, everything better be boxed up and organized, and he better not be one to use a bunch of pickups. He better have a U-Haul, because I don't do pickups and I don't pack boxes. And then I show up begrudgingly to help him, right? And I'm constantly looking at my watch. Oh, what time is it? Oh, what time is it? Waiting for the time when I can say, you know what? See ya. Gotta go. Sorry. And then I'm out of there. And I've helped a lot of you move. I'm not talking about anybody in particular in this room, okay? So just get that thought out of your mind. But my attitude there, that's wrong. It's wrong. I mean, it is flat out wrong. My attitude was all about me rather than being concerned about the well-being of others. How much better had it been if in my heart and my mind and my attitude, I would have said, yes, I'll give you a hand. But you know what? I can only give you 2 hours because that's all I have. But I'll give you everything I got. And then showed up there and really meant that and lived that out. You see the difference? That one is an attitude of self-centeredness. The other is an attitude of others-centered. See, situations like the one I described, now, come on, you know that happens to us all the time. Even the disciples, you know what? They weren't immune to that. Remember when two of them got into an argument about who was going to sit on the right and left side of Jesus? In fact, one of the moms even got into it. Jesus, hey, can you put my boys on either side of you? Guess what? The other disciples didn't like that. Because they thought, hey, I ought to be sitting there. And the next thing you know, this big argument breaks out about who's the greatest. But notice what Jesus says. He says, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. That is profound. Think about it. The one, Jesus, the one who spoke the universe into existence, came as a human to redeem humanity, and in the process, also demonstrated what true greatness is. It's serving others. Jesus was telling us that greatness wasn't going to be found in a position. That's a seat. That means nothing. But greatness is found in giving your life away. And so why is serving others so difficult for us? Why is it so hard? I think we can look back to Galatians again. I think one reason is because we fail to remember that we've been set free. You and I have been set free. Freedom. From that old self-centered nature. That doesn't have to control you anymore. And we're now free to live our lives the way God has told us to. And to give our lives away. You're free to do that. You're free to quit thinking about yourself. We're free now to do what is best. To love those that God has called us to love. Freedom. Just consider the alternative. And that's a life lived in bondage to self, which is really not no life at all. It's not where that's no life. There's no freedom in a life apart from God. There just isn't. I mean, the more we pursue a life without God, the more our freedom is taken. It's taken from us. And we end up living lives where we just end up tearing people apart, tearing them down instead of building them up. We destroy each other. I mean, just think of someone you know who's a bitter person. I bet the name just popped right into your head. That's sad because that shows us we live in a world where people are just really in a bad place. But think about that person. Maybe it's us. What do we end up talking about? What do they end up talking about all the time? How sorry everybody is. Look at that dumb person over there. He's stupid. How much they talk about how much they can't stand so-and-so. I can't stand being around him. Right? It's all things that tear people down. And soon they're just consumed with bitterness and anger and jealousy. I mean, they become very demanding people, people who are quick to blame others for all of their unhappiness. It's because they're not doing what they need to. That's why I'm so unhappy. That's not freedom. That's bondage. And that's what a life focused on self leads to. But the gospel, no, the gospel, it sets us free from that kind of life. In fact, the gospel now gives you the power to love those who may be unlovable. Maybe even the very person who's trying to control you. That's what freedom looks like. And so how do we live that? How do we live in that freedom? Well, you live by the Spirit of God. That's what our passage tells us at the very end. You live by the Spirit of God. But don't just think this is magically going to happen. It's not like, poof, you're just all of a sudden filled with the Spirit of God and holy and making right choices and loving people. It doesn't happen that way. You're going to have to engage with your mind. You're going to have to decide how you're going to live. Decide to live each day controlled and guided by the Holy Spirit. Decide to operate within the realm of His Spirit and His desire for your life. And then you got to know that He'll give you the power that you're going to need to live that kind of life. Loving and serving others. I mean, that's the only way. That is the only way that you're going to be able to control that those selfish desires that want to pop up in your head, in your heart. And maybe you're thinking, gosh, Jim, I hear you, and I want to live by the Spirit's life. I want to be empowered by the Spirit. But I don't know how. You don't really know where to start. I think the best place to start is following Jesus' example. Follow His example. Look back to Matthew 20 again. Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many. Start giving your life away. Start today. In your life today, right now, you're going to have plenty of opportunities to serve others. It's going to happen. I promise you, it will happen. And some opportunities, oh, they're going to be easy. I mean, they're going to be an underhand pitch, and you're going to knock it right out of the park. But then others are going to be difficult. I mean, you may even be treated like a servant. You might be disrespected. Even unappreciated. That's gonna happen. But don't let that keep you from serving others. Don't do it. It's not worth it. Instead, decide today how you're gonna respond in your thoughts and in your actions when these opportunities come up. When I was in the service, we practice all the time. We generated airplanes for war. Every month we were generating airplanes. And when the first Gulf War kicked off, I remember landing in Saudi Arabia and we were generating airplanes. Wait a minute. We were at war. We were doing what we were supposed to because we had decided ahead of time we were going to practice what we preach. And so settle the issue. So when it comes up, you already know what you're going to do. Decide today to embrace the greatness of serving others because it is great. It's freedom. Now, maybe you're like me and you've indulged the self-centeredness. Well, just stop. Stop. And repent. Confess the ways that you've allowed yourself just to be sucked into that old life. And then ask God to forgive you. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with His power. And then resolve, I like that word, resolve today to live by the Spirit, to live by His power, and believe that He will give you the power that you're going to need to love others, to serve others, to take your eyes off of yourself and look out to the needs that are out there as we follow Christ's example. And together, let's carry that sacrificial love and that care into the world beyond these walls, into the places God has called us to go all throughout this city. And let's show the love of Christ as we pour our lives out into people in the small and seemingly insignificant things of everyday life because they matter. Let's pray. Father, thank you. If you need to repent, talk to God now. If you need to confess, just tell him what's on your heart. Ask God to speak to you.